WildTalkRadio.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No! 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 This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by PW Mania and MemLanePromo.com. I know I'm excited by that music, but anyway, joining me as always is the one and only Lindsay Ward.
I'm just a pile of goo, you know, just don't pay any attention to me right now. I'm just, the feelings, oh my god, the feelings.
And tonight started off well with the WWE Network.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it is. Been watching it most of the day. It's kind of awesome. I have it going right now. Can't hear it because I muted it, but I have it on. It's streaming. It's awesome. Anyway, as the music played, Hulk Hogan came down to the ring as he is the guest host of WrestleMania 30. Hogan, you know, got a huge roar from the crowd on hand. They were excited to see Hulk Hogan. Hogan's back. Hogan went back to 30 years ago, something that turned into a global phenomenon. They were the very first WrestleMania. Hogan said, "History's made that day and today with the launch of the WWE Universe. The WWE Universe is launching the WWE Network." Hogan said, "Hulkamaniacs were huge parts of launching the WWE Network." Hogan then said he can go back and watch the likes of Bruno Sammartino, Shawn Michaels, which the crowd got a loud pop for, Steve Austin, and The Rock. But to the future, look ahead of WrestleMania 30, Hogan announced that he is the official host and asked the question, what you gonna do when the WWE Network, WrestleMania 30, and Hulkamania run wild on you? Hogan was there to plug the network. Good stuff.
And, you know, he plugged the network. He did an admirable job. I'm not as thrilled to see Hogan as you are, but I'm not a Hogan fan. So
right.
It's something of, it's nice to see him back in WWE. It's nice that he got a good pop. I'm really, really happy I didn't have to type a recap of it, which, you know, makes it 100 times better for me because I hated recapping his promos.
Because she typed on the word brother a lot.
A lot. Like, a lot. Like, brother and Jack and
dude. So they used Hogan the right way. They promote the network, promote WrestleMania 30, and that's what all that matters.
He's out there for 5 minutes, if that. It's fine.
Let's do something unusual. Let's take a phone call. See what happens.
Take a call?
Welcome to the welcome to the post show. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Mike, and I'm calling from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
What's on your mind tonight, Mike?
Man, I want to talk about some of these disappointing storylines and build up for WrestleMania 30.
Disappointing? What are you watching?
Well, I'm watching, you know, everything going on with the WWE. This whole authority angle, it's a slow burn storyline with Daniel Bryan, you know, climaxing now to meet Triple H at Mania. It was supposed to be Punk. And, you know, everybody and their brother, I mean, this whole, as they call it, the Yes Movement. I mean, Bryan should have won the belt a couple times now, and now they're going to put him in the ring with Triple H and let Triple H put him over at Mania. And then now he'll have to wait till either the following night on Raw. It's getting frustrating watching some of these storylines. And I think, like, Bray Wyatt now with Cena, I think that's too fast. I think putting Bray in the ring with the face of the company, I think it's too soon. I think they need to develop the whole the Shield versus the Wyatts angle, let that go through SummerSlam. I think they're trying to transition new people to get them into the, you know, superstar role, but I think they're trying to do it too fast.
John Cena wants to do something new at WrestleMania, and for him, that's Bray Wyatt, and that's why we're going with Cena and Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania. I disagree about rushing the Daniel Bryan Triple H authority angle. I'm kind of enjoying it, but I'm in the minority about that one. I see a lot of people online going, we want Daniel Bryan in the title match. He'll get his title shot. Don't worry. Like, you gotta understand, there's more than just WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I understand the whole build-up with the storylines. Everything's, you know, pretty much already set in stone, pretty much through SummerSlam. Or as far, I don't know, how far ahead do you think they are creatively right now?
WrestleMania is their plan. After that, then we'll see where they go. WrestleMania.
But, I mean, and then just kind of the whole Brock Lesnar-Undertaker match, the launch of the network, I mean, I don't know how you not have Sting signed or have him on the show tonight to help promote the network.
You don't need him now.
You know.
You don't need Sting now. I'm sorry, I gotta disagree with you. You don't need Sting now. Way too soon.
Well, obviously they don't need him now. I mean, you know, they pretty much made that clear by not having either the deal done or they have plans for after WrestleMania.
Right. They had Hogan. Hogan's your face. That's where you worry about it. Hogan's the face of the network right now. Sting will come at some point.
So if you had to guess, do you see Sting coming on like the first Raw after Mania?
That's where I'm thinking of it. The night after WrestleMania, they always do something big. There's your moment.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for taking time to talk. I listened to the show, and, you know, I just love hearing other people's opinions, you know. That's what makes, you know, every sport and every fan, you know, solid, man. We always have different opinions
on
everything.
That's awesome, yes. Opinions are great. I love that. I love hearing different opinions. It's awesome.
You know, it all gives us some water cooler talk, and we'll see what happens. But
the best thing,
you know,
before you...
Hold on, before
you get your question, let me interrupt you. The best thing about pro wrestling right now, it's getting you talking.
Yeah, that is true. I'm not ordering the network, though. That's one thing I'm not doing. I don't want to watch a whole bunch of past events yet. I think I got 50 some hours on my TiVo already.
Well, that's your choice. The network's cool.
One last question for you.
Go right ahead.
And maybe you have an inside ear. Have you heard any more updates on CM Punk?
No. They keep talking about he may show up next week. I doubt it. Punk is done. Punk walked out. Punk's done. I don't think that's their focus right now.
Okay. Because what I heard, one of my friends worked with WWE for 11 years,
mm-hmm.
is that prior to Friday, Vince McMahon flew to Chicago to meet with CM Punk personally.
That's possible. It's quite possible. We'll see what happens. I doubt it, because Punk was... Where was UFC at? Las Vegas? So.
Yeah, well, he can't... Yeah, but he flew out there, I think it was late Friday night was out there, but I think it'd be interesting to see. But I do, with them setting up everything for Mania, I don't see how they could bring Punk back now.
He's not needed now. And if he were to come back, it sets a bad example for the rest of the roster. You can walk out and then get handed something. It's a bad example.
Yeah, so your prediction is he's completely done with WWE?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my prediction. He may come back in a year or two, but right now he's done for a while.
I think something also that is interesting, and I'm sorry for tying up your phone lines, other callers who are calling
in. You're good.
The Jeff Jarrett announcements.
Mm-hmm.
That's really got my curiosity going.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that one.
I mean, I'm a huge Jeff Jarrett fan. I love the fact that, you know, back in 2002, he said, you know what, I'm going to try this. I'm going to launch this brand. And believe it or not, I actually, and I don't know if you have an inside track on this, but I actually emailed. I wanted to know if he needed investors, because I am somebody who could invest in a wrestling organization.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just a, you know, I'm a businessman.
Right.
And so if anybody's listening who knows Jeff Jarrett, okay, check your inbox, Jeff. Because I actually emailed you, because not only am I an investor, but I'm a part of a big conglomerate that we do have funds, and if your pitch is good enough, we would love to come into the pro wrestling business. Yeah, I mean, you know, a couple extra $1 million thrown into the tank, I think, could help a startup company. What do you think?
That works. Hold on.
We tried to get into Tommy Dreamer's organization with money.
Right.
And it's really funny. I'll tell you the story about that.
Go right ahead.
Talk to their marketing people. Okay. We made a pitch, you know. We were looking for a return on investment. We were willing to put up $500,000. Okay. And, you know, we wanted a 10% return on investment, but it could, you know, it didn't have to be right away. It could be 2 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then we could have the option to put more in to get more equity.
Right.
They turned down our $500,000.
Really?
Yeah, they turned down $500,000.
Hmm.
And it's myself and the other investor. He is a Hollywood producer. He has over 27 films under his belt. And him and I together, we've done work, you know, on Sci-Fi Network, Travel Channel. And we have currently 6 movies that are actually out on DVD that you can purchase.
Right. But,
and 2 of them did hit theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, really weird. These wrestling people, when you offer to give them money, they always ask for it, but then when it comes time to take it,
they don't want it.
They don't want it, and then they wonder why they run out of it.
Exactly.
It's really interesting. I mean, you know, we've been looking into pro wrestling for a while. I mean, looking to maybe get behind a good startup, you know, but
right.
It's hard to find.
Let me interrupt you. The owner of Wild Talk Radio, Tim Stein, is on the line, and he wants to talk to you. Tim.
Hey, how are you tonight? Thanks for calling into the Rob Poe Show. It's really good to hear what the listeners think of what's going on.
I love it.
One of the reasons why I called in on Rock and Lindsay's show is I'm listening, and I hear that you're interested in talking about wrestling promotions.
Yeah, I mean, we love wrestling, and we would love to try and help an organization get bigger and grow. And we know that takes capital. You know, a lot of people, you know, they kind of turn their head at pro wrestling because you aren't big, you know, because Vince McMahon, he doesn't need anybody's money. You know, the Carters, well, they need money, but they just don't know how to use it. You know, they have all their own money. They just don't spend it right. But, I mean, yeah, we've been looking to get involved with a big startup for a while now. It's just a matter of finding somebody and sitting down, have that initial meeting, and kind of going over a direction.
Well, in addition to owning the Wild Talk Radio Network website, I also happen to own Canadian All-Pro Wrestling.
Canadian All-Pro?
Yes, located in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And I started the company in 2011, and, of course, my major problem has been a cash flow crunch. I had a business partner who just recently really screwed me over right after our last show back in September.
Oh wow. And that's sad to hear. I mean, can you kind of, without saying names or anything or too much background, what happened?
Well, basically, and there's a long backstory to it that I'm pretty much convinced that the guy had it all arranged behind my back. The day, like 2 days after our last show, we did a pretty okay gate. It was a small crowd, but we grossed. I'm gonna just like lay it out on the table, and everybody's gonna hear this for the first time. We grossed at the door $2,200 Canadian just on ticket sales.
Okay, and what was the seating capacity?
The place that we were at, if we pushed it, we could cram 350 people in there. We had just about 200.
Well, that's great for a small indie house show.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely fantastic. But the former business partner basically stole the gate and sold the ring on me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, what we really would love to do is we would love to, start up almost, back, in the 70s and the 80s, you had your divisions out, in Minnesota, you had your wrestling down south, you had your Mid-South wrestling, you had your Florida Championship wrestling. What we would love to do is get something going here on the East Coast, kind of like, I'm not going to say like Ring of Honor, because they've already, their brand kind of varies back and forth, and I have a lot of respect for them and how far they have come.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to take it to the next level. I mean, and capital-wise, we have the capital to bring in, quality. I mean, it takes a lot for the production, and we have the background in TV and movie production. And if you've got good production, you've got good athletes that can come in, tell a story, keep the fans happy. That is how you're going to touch with that wrestling base. That's how you're going to keep those fans coming to your indie shows. That way you're not somebody who just sets up, two or three shows, and then it's like, oh, we're done. We aren't making enough. No, we want to work with somebody that's committed to saying, hey, here's what we're going to do over the first year, and then over the second year, this is what our growth is hoping to be. Yeah. And lay it out there. I mean, you can't get into a wrestling organization and invest money and think you're going to get that quick turnaround. It takes time to develop.
This is true. Yeah, would you like to know who my Commonwealth champion was?
Who?
Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Oh, wow. That is a name that rings a couple old bells. Oh, wow.
Half the Hart family would attend our shows. They were big fans of Canadian outdoor wrestling. As a matter of fact, Smith Hart, the oldest Hart brother, at one point in time, he was coming down the stairs after talking to the boys in the back. I was going up the stairs to make sure everything was ready for the after the intermission. He stopped and had a 5-minute chat with me in the stairwell about how good he found the show to be and how much it reminded him of what Stu was doing with the old Stampede Wrestling.
That is a huge compliment.
Yep.
That is a huge compliment right there. I mean,
and also, I received an email just a few weeks ago. Canadian All-Pro Wrestling was actually nominated as the best indie wrestling federation on the planet.
That's interesting. Very interesting. I mean,
and the guy that was my business partner just basically wadded all that up into a ball and threw it in the trash can.
Now, are you open to doing any work here in the States?
Well, one of the plans originally for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling was, once everything was opened up, was to rebrand it Continental Championship All-Pro Wrestling.
Well,
and actually do shows all over Canada and the United States. There's a network here in Canada on cable called the Fight Network, and they show UFC, not just WWE, but all pro wrestling stuff from all over the world. And they're really hurting for Canadian content. I actually spoke with somebody at the network, and they had asked for a screener copy of our shows to actually be included on their in their lineup.
Well, what I'd like to do is, since we are on the air right now,
yeah, right.
What I'd like to do is possibly, if there is a way for, the host of the show to get us off air because I would like to exchange some information. Because I don't want to, of course, give it out over the airwaves.
I'll let him give you a call back in a minute because we have your phone number. We'll let him give you a call and you guys can talk. How about that?
Yeah, that would sound great. And I would like to discuss real quick with you here one last topic on WWE saw tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to speak from the heart about this because, you know, I'm just a big wrestling fan and just, you know, I love it. But watching Brock and Undertaker, okay, we've all seen Brock versus Undertaker. I understand the streak. I understand that, you know, it's one of the most important things of WrestleMania when they come to promoting it,
mm-hmm.
especially with some of the way the talent has fallen lately.
Right.
But putting Brock in there with Taker, I just don't think between the two of them, God bless them, Undertaker's been great for the WWE and its fan base for 20-some years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it should have been somebody put in that ring with Taker that could work the bumps good, that could sell the moves a little better, because the Undertaker isn't, he's what, 48 now?
Something along that. And you're, I know you have the right to be worried about it, but they're going to Texas in a few weeks. I think everything will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just so... It's like that match when it airs. It's like it's either gonna steal the show, or it's gonna be the butt of the show. One or the other. There's no in between with that match.
Right. With the look on it. Go ahead, Lindsay. Sorry.
Sorry to butt in, but I was just gonna say I'm kind of with you with the Taker match. I'm not necessarily looking forward to him facing Brock, but I have a feeling this is something he really wanted to do. So if that's the case, I don't think they're gonna tell him no.
Well, considering, you know, we all know the streak's not going to end. We know that.
Right.
The streak ends when the Undertaker retires. That's when it ends.
Mm-hmm.
It ends with that. But I understand giving a believable opponent that can beat the Undertaker. But every wrestling fan by now knows Undertaker's going to win. Okay? So let's give them a solid match. Triple H versus Undertaker. Triple H sold everything. He made the Undertaker look like a rock star. CM Punk, same thing. Shawn Michaels, same thing. Now you're talking Brock Lesnar, one of the stiffest workers in the industry, with the Undertaker. I think it's almost a guarantee we don't see Undertaker again till SummerSlam. You know, his body just can't take it. I think it's a bad move on the WWE to put him in there with Brock. He's always worked stiff. It's been one of the biggest complaints. Even though if Brock agreed to work with Taker in Dallas
mm-hmm.
over this match, you know, and practice for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, alternating dates, which maybe Brock agreed to for extra money because under his contract with appearances, it doesn't include training with the Undertaker.
They worked it out. He's fine. Appearances
yeah,
don't matter.
You know what I mean? So, it's either going to be the match of the night or it's just going to be the one that everybody's talking about, kind of like Batista last night and his badass spear that sucked. You know? So, I mean, in closing, Undertaker and the Brock match, I know there's a ton of Undertaker fans out there, but, God, I hope next year, WrestleMania 31, Undertaker hangs him up, defeats Cena for the belt or whoever has it, and then retire on Raw. Please, I'm getting tired of watching it.
All right, thank you for your call. Tim will be giving you a call here in just a
little
bit.
Tell him, give me about 5 minutes.
All right, you heard it, Tim.
Bye. Okay, yeah, I grabbed your phone number. I just need to grab your name.
Mike.
Mike.
I'll give you my last name when you call me.
Okay, Mike, yeah, I've got your phone number. It's the 717 area code, or 171, rather.
Yes, it is 717 area code in Pennsylvania. That's all I'm going to give over the air. I'll talk to you in a couple minutes. Bye.
Yeah, sounds good. Bye.
Thank you for calling it, Mike. Oh, that's one phone call down. Bye, Tim.
I wasn't going to give his full number out over the air. Holy cow, did I see Hulk Hogan on the air tonight?
You did!
You did.
That just, like, was only topped by one thing, and one thing only.
What?
Him saying that they were launching the WWE Universe.
Yeah, I know, we mentioned that. All right, Tim, I'm letting you go now.
All right, I'm going to hang up before you can.
And we have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to the Raw Power Show.
Oh, my God. Hi, guys.
Hi, Lily.
Hi.
So how was the show?
Oh, my God. I am a puddle of goo on the floor right now.
I saw your Tumblr post. Congratulations.
Oh, my God. When that happened, I'm so surprised I didn't faint.
So tell us about it. I mean, how was it? I mean, you were there for one of the biggest Raws in history. What was it like?
It was pretty phenomenal, to say the least.
Tell what...
When I saw Undertaker, when I heard the gong, and... Oh, my God, I started screaming.
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah, I was surrounded by a lot of people, and all of us started screaming, but I literally was, like, screaming my butt off because it's like, oh, my God, it's The Undertaker.
There are only rare occasions when he shows up, and you got one of them.
I know.
That's
I'm still
awesome.
Reeling from that fact. Oh, my God, but I saw the Wyatts twice in one night, and that just made it for me.
Because you got Eric twice.
I did. I got Eric twice.
How big are they in person? And I'm curious.
They're pretty big. They're pretty big.
Awesome. I'm just curious.
She's very curious about sizes of things.
I will tell you this, Lindsay. I will tell you this. Eric Rowan, he has a fine-ass booty.
I bet he does.
It is a huge butt.
All right, so I'm going to give you the difficult question. What was bigger, Taker or seeing the Wyatts?
Oh, my gosh. Well, both of them were huge highlights for me, but considering I saw the Wyatts twice in one night, and the fact that they're still around, and Taker only comes around once in a while, I honestly have to say seeing Taker was bigger.
Good. I'm glad you had a great time at the show. What else did you like from the show?
I liked the fact that, you know, they actually had a good Divas match with Emma and Summer Rae.
Mm-hmm. That was good. Let's see. why the hell not? What do you think of the Batista stuff from the show?
I was actually kind of laughing when Randy picked up on the whole fact that everyone was booing him out of the building.
Good. I was the only one that was laughing at that. Okay. Good.
I was laughing.
I asked Rock.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was laughing the whole entire time. It's like booty stuff.
I was laughing with Rock because I was like, did they just troll and tell the WWE Universe to F off in like a 2 minute span? With that segment? Because it was like literally, it was like Orton walked out and then Batista was like, you know what? I really don't give a damn. So it's like, wait, what? Did that just happen?
It kind of seemed like it. I mean, you know, with the whole Batista not giving a damn.
This is true. What was match of the night for you?
Match of the night. I'd probably have to say Bray versus Roman.
How was the crowd by you for that match? Because you said... Some of the crowd we heard on TV was very quiet, but how was the crowd around you? How were they receptive to that match?
There were a couple of people that were chanting stuff like Husky Harris, and I was looking around like, seriously, shut up.
Yeah, that was my impression, too. That came across on TV, yeah. I was like, shut up.
Yeah, and there were a couple of people that were chanting, pay your taxes, and that kind of got me to laugh.
That's actually clever. That made it on TV. That would have been clever.
Yeah, no, it was pretty funny hearing that. I mean, that was I could deal with that. That was funny. But Husky Harris,
yeah,
like, seriously, come on.
Yeah.
Some people can't let it go. You know, they can't.
And there was this guy that was behind me that was using his sign as like a megaphone and everything. And I was looking at him like, seriously, put that down, shut up and watch the match.
Exactly.
Right?
All right, so anything else you would like to share us about the show?
When you guys do go and see it, it's going to be so worth it because I had the time of my life.
Yeah, Lindsay's heading down possibly in a couple weeks to go see them in Utah.
Yeah, Rowan and Harper are supposedly coming here. They're listed to be here. Bray's going to be in New York, but I was laughing with Rock because the last time they came through here, Bray hadn't been brought up to the main roster, but he was on the road with them, so I actually got to see Bray Wyatt before he debuted. And it kind of didn't even realize it until he debuted, and I'm like, oh, it's that guy.
It was just some guy, Bray Wyatt, back then, and now it's, oh my god, it's Bray Wyatt.
No, it's, oh my god,
yeah.
It's Boo Boo.
Oh my god, it's Boo Boo. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I get that right. Oh my god, it's Boo Boo.
Basically.
Thank you for calling in tonight, Lee. I'm glad you had a great time at the show.
Yeah, I had a great time. I'm still a puddle of goo. I'm probably going to need to get some sleep to wear it off.
Nothing wrong with that. Have a good rest of your night.
You too, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was Lily, everyone. Hey, we're taking phone calls tonight here live on the Rompo Show.
Two phone calls in a row! Oh my gosh, it's a record!
And haven't promoted.
Ow, it's so awesome!
And we didn't even promote the number. So there you go on that one.
Where did they get the number? I'm worried now.
Well, it's in the, you know, promotion of the show, but we don't say it on the air.
Oh.
See? Alright, let's get through this.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. Oh, my goodness.
All right, we got to get it. Let's get through this. All right, Batista Del Rio, open the show. Better than last night. Still wasn't really that great. Batista's being booed out of the building.
Yeah, this was really awkward. It was really... I told you last night when we talked after the show that I was like, I actually was kind of enjoying this when they were exchanging... insult on Twitter, and they were taking shots at each other. It's like, you could actually have built this into something, but it seems like in the ring, they just don't mix. They just don't have that chemistry, which is unfortunate, because they were doing really well as far as trading shots. So, but, I mean, the match tonight, it was what it was. It was like, eh.
Right.
I mean, you kind of figured what the outcome was going to be.
Kind of. Well, because, you know, Del Rio ended up winning this matchup. Everyone thought Batista would win in a squash, but no, not happen. Del Rio wins with a roll-up when Randy Orton's music played and he came out.
Yes. And, well, Randy was, you know, snarkily apologetic for the fact that you know, he cost Batista the match. Kind of that sorry but not sorry thing.
Right. So yeah, they had a little bit of an exchange, as Lily mentioned with us. They brought up the boos and how the crowd, you know, was booing Batista. Then Orton was very sarcastic, and he noted the fans don't like Batista. Batista picked up the mic and said, I love this business, and the crowd booed. Batista said, it's being honest, it's something Orton knows nothing about. Batista got to this business that he will go to WrestleMania and beat the hell out of someone he used to call his friend. Batista says that he loves that people have a voice, but so does he. So that you boo him, he will boo you. If you cheer, he will cheer back. Same old, same old. And... he basically said, but now this guy has turned into a whining kiss-ass, not being Randy Orton, but Batista told Orton that he's the next WWE World Heavyweight Champion and told the fans to deal with it. Road begins there. I smell a full-on heel turn come Friday night.
Yeah, I mentioned this to you last night. It's like if they were smart, they would just go ahead and turn Batista heel. That makes the most sense because everybody's booing him anyway. So let the fans decide, turn him heel. You know, you don't necessarily have to have face versus heel at WrestleMania. You can honestly do heel versus heel, and Batista's always been a better heel. Always.
Always. Just soak up the heels of the booze at this point. Our second contest of the evening, Big E Langston and Cesaro. The one thing I will say about this one, wholly physical.
This was a great match.
Great, great match. There was a nice tilt-a-whirl backbreaker, and there was a hell of exchanges. The giant swing was awesome. The uppercut to Big E was awesome.
He got some hang time on that.
Oh, yes, he did. Holy crap, he did. The crowd was into it. They really got into it. Big E clothesline Swagger on the outside. After the giant swing, Cesaro's ready to go for the kill. Swagger comes in the ring, puts the ankle lock on Big E, causing disqualification. There's a little tension between Swagger and Cesaro. Seb sort of broke it up after the match. Then Big E jumps Swagger. Cesaro makes a save for his buddy. And then left him laying with an impressive-looking neutralizer that sort of made Big E almost drop on his head.
Yeah, Big E took that a little awkward.
Yeah. The fans were really into Cesaro in this one.
They were. I mean, he's starting to get over, which is awesome. Personally, at this stage, I'd like to see them split him from Swagger, because as much as I like Jack, which isn't a lot, honestly, but... You know, Jack has been good for him as far as helping to get him on TV. They've had a nice run of Surreal Americans. Cesaro is now starting to surpass Jack, mm-hmm. and really kind of needs to go back out on his own.
And I think that's coming very, very soon.
Yeah, I think Zeb and Cesaro are probably going to go out on their own, and Jack's going to get kicked to the curb.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Yep.
So we then come back and John Cena comes to the ring. Cena says he wants to say something from the WWE fan and him that's great to see Hulk Hogan back in WWE hosting WrestleMania 30. Cena says WWE Universe is going to remember tonight as the fans here tonight in Green Bay, Wisconsin, because Raw is the day the world changed with the network launch. Cena says he's been talking pretty hard about the past few weeks, that if they think they have the guts and what it takes to carry WWE in the future, you have to go through him to prove it. He said there's a mixed emotion tonight, but the underlying theme is respect. He said the future of the business goes through him. And then you enter Bray Wyatt. He said this misunderstood monster has caused quite a stir. Cena said he thought he would come face to face with him one day, just not in the chamber, which is supposed to be a secured structure. He said Bray cost him the WWE title. He then asked Bray if he wants to make another bold move right now. So Cena's ready for a fight. And the Wyatt say, Green Bay, we're here. And out.
If they're going to do that before every time where they say the city and we're here, I kind of like that.
I kind of like that too. So the Wyatt family. Well, shut up.
This world has an infection, and the virus is the human race. And through all these troubling times, John, it makes all the sense in the world that you would paint yourself right in the middle. I mean, after all, what would the world be without its hero? What would the world be without its knight in shining armor here to save the day? But people like you, John, you're hollow. You're full of empty promises. You promise to save these people. You promise to keep them safe. You tell them that everything will be all right just as long as you're around. Liar. You're a liar. You are a liar, John Cena. This is a terrible world. A cold, cold, dark, and lonely place. You stand for these illusions, but I stand for everything that is real. Now you say the future has got to come through you first. And I couldn't agree more, John. Please, excuse me. Allow me to properly introduce myself. My name is Bray Wyatt. And we are the Reapers that bring death to this era of lies.
Well, Mr. Wyatt, as long as we're exchanging pleasantries, my name is John Cena. I'm telling you one thing right now. So much as one of y'all slide under this bottom rope, I promise you this. You starting something, son. You starting something you may not be able to finish. So if you make that move, you just remember, it's go time, Jack.
So John Cena is ready for his fight, and the Wyatts surround the ring, and they go on attack, attacking John Cena repeatedly. John Cena tries to fight back, but gets thrown down by all three members of Wyatt. He then curled up into the corner. The officials looked over his knee, and we'll get to that in a second. And then he was hobbling on one leg, fighting back, but again, got taken down one more time by the Wyatt family.
Yeah, this was really well done. This was a nice setup. You have Cena walk out there. He addresses it. He calls out the Wyatt family. The Wyatts are feeling plenty strong after their victory last night over the Shield. And they went after Cena and they took him down hard.
Yeah, they did.
Twice. I mean, you had them take Cena down and then Cena got back up. And he was hobbling and you could tell something was definitely wrong. Mm-hmm. And then you have Bray go in for the kill. And right. You have the Wyatt family back off. I was a little surprised that you had Bray go in for the kill, given the fact that it looks like Cena's knee might be borked.
Yeah. Cena apparently screwed up his knee. He refused supposedly medical treatment. That's what they're telling us. But my gut is he has taken an MRI at this point. On the WWE Raw backstage pass, after the show, they played audio where Cena said something popped.
Which is never good to hear.
Yeah, he felt something pop. They were saying on the telecast it could be hyperextended knee, it could be something dislocated. We just don't know at this point, so stay tuned, and Thursday night on The Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern, we will most likely have some sort of update on the condition of John Cena.
Yeah, it looks like when Eric and Luke took him down,
down. Yeah, when Eric threw him down, his leg went splat into the mat.
Yeah, he went down awkward, so hopefully Cena's okay, but we will keep you updated on the condition, as I'm sure we'll hear more tomorrow. And we'll tell you all about it Thursday on The Rack.
Yes, we will.
Wow, Sheamus was covered with bruises.
Speaking of, currently our next contest is Christian versus Sheamus. I like the match.
Go ahead.
No, I said I like the match.
No. I liked it. It was, but to me, it was just okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell, obviously, both guys were really sore from the chamber.
Oh yeah.
And it was just, you know, it was something of, especially Christian, who just, you know, put it all out there in the chamber, and bless him for it. But yeah, I mean, this was an okay match. They have semi good chemistry, but you could tell that they were definitely hurting after last night.
Yeah, they were a bit sore going through all the hell they went through at the Chamber. Good match, good solid match. I like the finish. Christian coming off of the top of the middle rope and eating the bro kick for the victory.
Yeah, that was nice.
One moment, the fans. Christian looked at the crowd, and then they started to boo, and he smirked. It was awesome.
Heel Christian is back, y'all.
Yeah, he sort of is. We then had footage from that was shown on the app earlier today, where the authority arrived. Renee Young was talking to Triple H about the vibe at the headquarters with the launch of the WWE Network. In came Daniel Bryan, who started screaming and hollering at Hunter and Stephanie about what he has to do to get a WWE title shot, because every time that he gets close, they screw him. And then he challenged Triple H to a fight right now or even at WrestleMania, because they won't let him near the WWE title. Hunter said that's funny because he's just a, you know, B-plus guy, and maybe, hopefully, he'll find a spot for him on the card. Steph then told Bryan that he should, you know, take his frustrations out on the person who's responsible for it all, Kane. And then Hunter and Steph shared a look, and Bryan was just all frustrated. They walked away. I love that segment.
That's a great segment. It was a nice setup for what's to come. Obviously, Bryan is getting CM Punk's spot at Mania, which I have no problem with.
Nope.
Honestly, at this stage, I would rather see Bryan versus Hunter, just because I think there's a better story there. And then once Bryan overcomes the authority, he wins the title. And everything kind of comes full circle.
They've kind of been foreshadowing that one since, I don't know, SummerSlam?
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to this. And I'm looking forward to see how they build it, because, well, we saw what happened between Bryan and Kane, which we'll get into here in a minute. But yeah, so they started everything tonight, and this was a nice little setup for this.
Mm-hmm. We go back into the deep part of the arena. The Shield are talking. The Shield were talking somewhere, and Seth Rollins asked Damian Ambrose to explain what happened during the Shield's loss to him and against the Wyatts. Ambrose said, if they don't trust him, then he's out of here. So, first off, we found Ian, so you can take his face off the milk cartons. Found him. Ambrose then sort of walked away, and then Rollins and Roman were having a conversation about wanting to believe Ambrose or not. And then, in walked Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family. And that got very interesting, and then Roman challenged Bray to a one-on-one match and leave the boys in the back.
Yeah, I love how Seth was, like, legit scared. Like, he's like, oh, God, not again. Not again, not after last night. But, yeah, it's like, yay, they found Dean, and he's not happy.
He's not happy, no.
So, they're building that tension in the Shield, and, well, they're setting up Wyatt's versus Shield, too, in case they need it.
Yeah, and we'll get more into that here in just a quick second. as Lindsay told us, coming up next, Kane versus Daniel Bryan. They had a good match.
They did have a good match. This was something of those Team Hell No feels, and it's like, oh man. But yeah, these two, they had fun. You could tell that they had fun. They obviously know each other very well. We had Kane wrestling in his slacks. Which, you know, of course, I 100% approve of whatever Kane Gittin says. And so, yeah, I mean, this was really good. This was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
You had Bryan pick up the victory with a running knee, which I kind of call BS on. I'm sorry. I really do. I call BS on that because I know Kane. I've been a Kane fan for 14 years, okay? Dude has a head like a rock. A running knee to the head? Really? I mean, really?
He has a magical knee. Come on now.
Apparently Bryan does, but yeah. That's my only complaint about this match. But everything else was really good. It was really well done. Very enjoyable. Very physical between the two.
Yeah,
Kane likes choke slamming Daniel Bryan.
Yes, he does. He chokeslammed him once and then chokeslammed him. He caught him as he came off the top rope for his flying dive. And he's just like, here's Kane's hand. Daniel Bryan lands on it. Kane gets up and slams him hard to the ground. Really nice.
Yeah, that was good.
Apparently when you go corporate, you lose your edge.
Well, technically he did lose his edge because Edge retired. So...
Yes, Kinkins lost his edge. He only has a Christian now.
Yeah, he only has a Christian. Although he's the angriest Christian ever, apparently.
See what happens, Kinkins. Just playing on out. Post-match, after Brian after Brian wins, Brian says he confronted the authority earlier today and he would like to make one thing clear. Triple H is a coward! Brian then challenged Triple H to a match at WrestleMania and he said he hid behind his wife's skirt. Ooh, ever since Hunter put on that suit, he has ignored what each and every fan wants. He said the crowd makes their voice heard and the fans chant, yes, yes, yes. Brian shouted towards the camera, if they are listening. Brian said the entire arena is chanting yes. He told Hunter, give the people what they want. Give them the match they wanted to see at WrestleMania. Triple H versus Daniel Bryan.
We just don't know what people want. But...
and it may not be what they want, but that's what they're getting at WrestleMania. You know it.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
You know, again, it's something of I'd rather see this than the title match just because of a lot of fans with the way that they're acting, it's kind of turned me off of it. Mm-hmm. And that's not a shot at anybody, it's just a lot of the reactions, it's kind of like, really? Because to me, it's something of the WWE can put the title on Daniel Bryan at any point, and I think they know that.
And you can tell by the way they're talking, it's happening.
Patient. They're going to do it, but it's something of Brian has to overcome the authority because they're the force that's stopping him from getting the title before he can win the title and keep it. That's the thing. We've seen Brian win the title. Mm-hmm. He's done it twice, but he doesn't have the power or really the political muscle behind him to keep the title. So something of he has to take down the authority before he can consider winning the title, because otherwise he'll just keep screwing him out of the belt time and time again.
And you never know if steps happen. May happen at Mania.
It could happen at Mania. I mean, that Triple H versus Hunter still hasn't been decided. I'm sorry, Triple H versus Bryan. Right. I'm distracted, sorry. Triple H versus Hunter, yeah! It's a street match. No, but, I mean, it hasn't been decided yet, but I have a funny feeling Brian's getting Triple H, which I think, honestly, is a little bit bigger at this stage.
Right.
But that's just me. That's my opinion on it.
Right. Oh, I understand. We'll see where things go there. Up next, Emma versus Summer Rae. Solid match.
This is pretty good.
Yeah.
Emma's a little clumsy in the ring, but I think I'm not sure if that's part character or if that's her or what it is. I haven't honestly seen enough of her mm-hmm. to know, but, you know, I get a kick out of Emma. I think she's cute.
Nothing wrong with Emma. Emma picked up the victory with the Emma lock. So Emma and Santino celebrate after the match. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, live on the WWE Network this Thursday night, Emma challenges for the NXT Women's Championship.
At NXT Arrival.
Which we'll be covering on the rack Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Shameless plug. Up next, New Age Outlaws versus the Usos in what was a fun little thing. So the bell rings and the Road Dog and didn't get his shtick out. So he told the young pups get out of the ring, let the old dogs get in their bit. So Road Dog does his intro. The New Age out and super kicked by one of the Usos. Billy Gunn gets thrown over the top rope. Big splash. Usos win.
Yeah, this was, if you blinked, you missed it, but it was really well done.
I liked it. It was fun.
It was like, you know, the Usos were obviously pissed about last night, so, well, they made sure the Outlaws felt their frustration.
Mm-hmm. Up next, main event match. Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns. Reaction?
Oh my god. This was when they made this match. It was like, they're trying to kill me. They're really trying to kill me. I mean, you know, it's not enough that you have Bray walk out there and cut a nice promo and they beat up Cena. No. He's going to have a match too. And who's he going to fight? Oh yeah, he's going to fight Roman. Because, you know, last night wasn't enough.
Nope.
As far as, you know, them trying to just make me implode. No. Tonight they had to have Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns. Which, honestly, it was a good match. It picked up at the end. But it's something of Bray and Roman on their own. They didn't quite mesh right. And I think they were honestly trying to feel each other out for a good portion of the match before they really got into it. Because I think they were a little lost and kind of maybe didn't know what to do.
They were feeling each other out because they're two powerhouse guys. So they're trying to outpower one another. The crowd got into it at the end, which they should have, because it turned out to be a decent, solid, really good match. As they went to the finish, you could see. And it's also one of the things where both are technically heels.
Right.
So those matches are a little awkward. But when Roman did the face comeback, things got really interesting in this. He hit the Superman punch, going for the spear. We had the Wyatt noise. Boys showed up at ringside, and apparently waiting in the wings was Seth Rollins, because he came out of nowhere.
He came out of nowhere.
Like an RKO, he came out of nowhere and dove over the top rope onto the boys. The boys then beat...
No. He did not dive over the top rope. He flipped, okay? He did a ninja flip in the air, and he landed on Rowan and Harper. Get it right.
Yes, he did the ninja flip over the top rope and landed on the boys. The boys then beat him down, and then out of nowhere came Dean Ambrose, and they started to have a fight. Then they all brawled into the ring, causing disqualification. Bray wins by DQ, and then the Shield stood tall at the end with the Wyatt staring them down.
I also want to know, where did the chair come from? How did it get down to the ring?
I want to know this. I posed this question to Lindsay. Where did it come from?
I told him if it's possessed in addition to being haunted, I'm done. I'm done.
Evil, evil spirits. I'm telling you. They haunt the chair.
But yeah, this was a nice little follow-up to last night. You had the Shield stand tall. They got a little bit of redemption from the absolute beating they took at the hands of the Wyatts. It's also in case Cena is borked and he can't work Mania. You've got something there that you can fall back on and kind of scrap plans potentially with the Shield and do another six-man of the Wyatts versus the Shield, and something of you could do it in a cage. You could add another stipulation to it to help settle it once and for all.
Exactly.
If you really needed to. But that, we don't know the Cena situation, but they have that there waiting. But this was a nice setup. Again, Roman and Bray on their own. I'd have to see another one before I made full judgment.
They also need the boys at ringside.
Yeah, Bray. You could tell that both Bray and Roman are very used to working tag matches. They are not used to working singles, Roman.
It's not even working singles. It's working without people behind them.
Right.
So that,
and especially Roman, you can tell he's just not used to not having Rollins and Ambrose there. And that's something of he's going to have to start to get used to that, especially if they are splitting the Shield. Bray's got a little bit, but I'm thinking that Bray will probably never be fully alone.
No.
Given the way the character is. But we'll have to see. But, you know, this was fine. Like I said, good follow-up. I will always take more Bray Wyatt on Raw. Always. Never going to complain.
Exactly.
Ever.
Backstage, Paul Heyman said to Brock Lesnar that they should act like gentlemen when they go out to the ring. Don't break anything. Don't scream. Don't holler. Don't do any of that. Just be gentlemen. So out comes the next big thing, the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar. Heyman stands there as the advocate for the obvious number one contender for the WWE World Heavyweight title. Heyman said that this man should be main eventing WrestleMania. Heyman shifted to tonight's grand celebration because there was a table in the ring. But he said that Lesnar is not in a good mood this evening. Heyman said it's become apparent, Lesnar and everyone, that Orton versus Batista should get out of the way with the winner facing Lesnar at WrestleMania 30. Heyman said when he's presented that to authority, they insisted that they give Brock something else, and that's another offer, an open contract at WrestleMania. To Lesnar, that's a consolation prize. Heyman says, that's the thing about WWE, is they give you everything in the WWE except for what you want the most. Boy, that was trolling the fans. Heyman said Lesnar wants to make history, but Triple H and Stephanie will not put that history in front of Lesnar to conquer. And that's how you get you into WWE. Heyman said, Hunter and Stephanie have tried to impose their authority on Lesnar, but this open contract doesn't mean a thing to WWE. Heyman said Lesnar wants to make history. So their answer is no thank you. Heyman says Lesnar doesn't have to choose his opponent, so the authority will give Lesnar history to conquer, or else Heyman. So at this point, they were ready to go home. Until... Did you hear that again? Let me hear it one more time.
This would be the moment where I screamed really loud.
The dead man cometh, ladies and gentlemen. The ovaries knew exactly when this was coming. And, well, he walked out to a thunderous ovation from the capacity crowd on hand. Yeah.
With the Furby on his face.
With the Furby on his face. Circa Ministry. Taker entered slowly, not knowing that 11:06 the WWE Network was going live with the Raw backstage pass, and it's like, Taker doesn't care. So he walks slowly to the ring, he gets up, and he looked intense when he got in the ring. Lesnar was like, holy crap. Took a big gulp, looked at the sign. Heyman was in the background and opened up the folder, and Lesnar signed it. Lesnar then shoved the pen into Undertaker's chest, and then Heyman noted that Lesnar has signed a contract. Heyman told Taker he could sign it too to have the match of Mania. And well, what did Taker do? He grabbed Lesnar by the hand, threw it down on the table, stabbed the pen into the man's freaking hand, and signed the contract.
He literally signed the contract in blood.
In blood. He stabbed...
Brock's blood.
He stabbed the man, guys. Stabbed.
On Monday Night Raw, in PG era WWE, The Undertaker stabbed a man in the hand. Can we just talk about this, please?
Can we finish the segment, then we can talk?
Yes, please do.
Then the dead man was not done. Once the contract was signed, he grabbed the Beast Incarnate by the throat, lifted him up high in the air, and chokeslammed him straight through the table. And the gong tolled once again. Ta-da! He's back!
Okay, yay. The official road to WrestleMania has begun. Taker is here. Yay. This was a way better return than last year.
By a thousand
I have a feeling this...
By a thousand times. I have a feeling this... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I said by a thousand times a lot better than last year.
and that this build will probably be a lot better than what it was last year. I'm not trying to knock last year, but last year had a lot of emotional ties to it that he wasn't, you could tell he was not himself, and he wasn't really feeling it until the very, very, very end. And even then, by the time they got to the match, because I actually rewatched the match again today, he was just kind of done and just kind of wanted to get it over with.
But you can tell...
Like, they both were.
You can tell tonight, he's ready.
Oh, tonight was Taker. That was 100% Taker. And you know what? They're talking about it in the chat room. I'm just going to bring it up because it's Haircake 8.0. You know, I told Rock, it's like he walks out and he's got a damn Furby on his chin. And it's like, oh no, not that one. Not that mustache. Please take her. Not that facial hair. And it's like, he's got a Furby on his chin and he's got a mohawk on his head. He's trying to kill me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, okay, I could deal with the mohawk if it was black, because at least it would have been consistent. No. Taker didn't dye his hair, at least not fully for this. He dyed his goatee jet black, and then his hair was like reddish brown.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think he was expecting the hood to come off, but when the hood came off, it's like, oh no. No, 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 no. No. Just no. I'm with Lemans on this one. I wish the hair was filled in a little bit better. He's had the mohawk for a while now. I know that's what he likes. I know that's what he wants. Fine. But it's something of, I'm sorry, it looks stupid. I'm just going to say it. It looks really stupid. Dude's 48 years old, okay? I'm not trying to question him, but it looks horrible on him. And it's like, if you want short hair, fine. Grow your hair in. Grow it in on the sides. You can have short hair and still look like yourself. And not look stupid. Because I'm sorry, it's like that hood came off, and it's like, with the hood on, he actually looked okay.
Mm-hmm.
But when that hood came off, it's like, ooh, no. Because you could see all 48 years on him when that hood kind of came off. Just, you know, pointing that out. I love my Undertaker. I really, really, truly do. I am absolutely ecstatic that he's back. Don't get me wrong, but it's like the hair. A big part of for me is the look. Is the presentation of the character and the look. And it's like, you know what, at this stage, if you're going to rock the mohawk, for the love of God, just go back to the American Badass. Please, just do it. Either grow your hair back in or go back to the American Badass. Please. Because you are killing me with the hair. Every year, my heart just can't take it. And it gets a little bit more done.
So there you have it. That's Raw, ladies and gentlemen.
It was a tremendous Raw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit happened.
Lots of stuff happened on that show. And that does it for us. Road to WrestleMania has begun, ladies and gentlemen. It has definitely, definitely begun. Which means Thursday night is the Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Mile Talk Radio Network, Lindsay.
That's right. Tune in because we are talking all about the WWE Network, the launch. Rock and I have both gotten it. We've been pouring through it all day, and we will be for the next few days. So we'll give you the lowdown on all the services and what it's got to offer as far as the programming, all that fun stuff. We're also going to be talking about NXT Arrival. If I could talk. I'm so excited. I can't even talk. Where we will be giving you the insight and the breakdown of all the matches from NXT Arrival. We'll let you know what we liked, what we didn't like, because, well, this is our first experience of watching NXT together, so we'll have to see how it goes. We also, well, we kind of have an interview, don't we?
But before we get to the interview, we'll also be recapping Elimination Chamber. Let Lindsay give her thoughts on the entire event as well. So if that's not stacked, Lindsay Benson's interview, one half of the best damn tag team in the business, the one, the only, the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, joins us on the rack to talk all about TNA Lockdown coming up on March 9th.
That's right. We had to get a little TNA in there since, you know, we're not talking Impact this week. So,
we're going to bring you
Christopher Daniels.
I hope that's okay.
Yeah, I hope everybody's okay with that.
Just playing them out. TNA recap or the Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels act that we hook you up. Just play that one out. Just saying. A little bit. Christopher Daniels. Who knew? Check it out. Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern on rockradioshow.com and wildtalkradio.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is CB Radio, the Weird, the Wacky, and the Unusual. Sunday night, it is WTR. Sunday night, live, 10 p.m. Eastern. So check that out. We'll recap everything that happened this week. Back next Monday for the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at wildtalkradio, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. God, Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD, and go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you go to my website under the Contact Us section, if I could talk again, good lord. Bray was just on my TV. There was lots of Bray Wyatt on the show tonight. If you click on the Contact Us section, there is a link to my Redbubble store. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to buy my artwork, it is available for sale at Redbubble.com. Just click the link on my website, and it will take you to my store. If you just want to view my work, you can check it out at Behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. And most of my artwork is available for your viewing pleasure, including the new piece, False Idols Will Fall, featuring the Wyatts and the Shield, based around their match last night. Also, please listen to The Rack, especially this week and next week. They're both must-listen-to shows as well. Christopher Daniels isn't the only surprise we have for you. Hint, hint, wink, wink. You can follow The Rack on Twitter at WTRV_Rack. Of course, listen to all the other fine programming on the network and visit RackRadioShow.com.
Thanks to PWMania.com, MemlanePromo.com. Thanks to everyone who called in this evening. It was fun. Do it again. It's awesome. Even though we don't promote the number, call in. Awesome. 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 Awesome stuff. So for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you Thursday night. Rack. Right here. Wild Talk Radio. Back next Monday. Good night, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.